Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and each week I am truly honored to share the microphone with really interesting people. Now, these are people who are entrepreneurs, authors, speakers, small business owners. They can be virtual assistants, web developers. Honestly, they're anyone who have just kind of gone out on their own and made it. And they're here to share their business wisdom tips and their actionable advice. In short, they are willing to help us shorten our learning curve as we navigate the know, like, and trust economy. And today I welcome Scott Hansen to the podcast. Scott is a business and marketing strategist, a sought-after speaker, and a world-renowned podcast host. He has helped numerous small business owners learn how to generate more high-quality leads, quickly turn them into loyal clients, and substantially increase their overall revenues. His work has been featured on ABC, NBC, Fox, Inc.com, and Business Innovators, and he has been a regular guest on over 50 radio stations and podcasts. Now I can add this one to the list. In addition, he is a contributing writer at Entrepreneur.com, is an international best-selling author, and the creator of Success Hackers, one of the most listened to business podcasts on iTunes, and it is downloaded in multiple countries. Wow. So for my listeners today, Scott is offering a few complimentary business breakthrough strategy sessions. I can do this. And the link is in the show notes, so make sure you go back into the show notes and look for that, and I'll have him discuss it a bit at the end of the podcast. Scott, good morning, and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio.
Yes, hello, Denise. Wow, that was a mouthful, wasn't it?
It was. It's like, you know, normally I can kind of sort of talk, but today maybe not. We'll see. We'll see how it progresses. So thank you so much for being with me. We're going to be talking about high-performance mindset, which is a huge topic. But before I get off track, tell people a bit about yourself that I may have missed in the intro.
Well, you did a great job. It's great being here on your show, and it just so happens to be. I know that we're going to be live to your audience. So the Chicago Cubs, I'm from Chicago, and they're doing their big parade today. So to say that the city is busting at the seams is an understatement. It only took 108 years to win the World Series. So needless to say, Chicago is busting with happiness and joy. But yeah, for me, I was in the corporate space for quite a long time, and I was in the sales, account management type business where, you know, I would work with, you know, large clients. Sometimes the sales cycle was anything from, you know, a few days all the way up to 6 months. So I had various sales and leadership type positions within the corporate space. And then one day I woke up and said, you know what, there's just this nagging and this tugging at me that I need to do something bigger and better. And I just knew I was meant to do something different. And people would always come to me, Scott, you know, you give great advice. You're really on top of the game. You can read us very, very well. And I would hear this over and over and over. And they say, you're very enthusiastic and you'd be a great speaker and all those things. And, you know, I always tell my clients and even just friends, when you start getting that tug, that one thing that doesn't go away, that's whoever you believe in, God, Buddha, the universe, whoever you dig the most, that's your sign of something continues to tug at you. You should probably pay attention to it. And that's what I did. I jumped full force into becoming an entrepreneur and being a business and marketing coach and strategist and speaker and everything else that you mentioned in the open. So that's how we got here.
Look, I agree with you. When the universe is sending you sign after sign and taking the sign out of the road and hitting you with it, time to pay attention. I've had it happen. And, you know, you keep hearing the same things and you just kind of shrug it off. Because we don't really understand our own skill sets, I think, until we really, you know, we're kind of forced to look at them, our hard skills and our soft skills. And you were like, oh, yeah, thanks. And we just kind of shrug it off until the day comes where you can't shrug it off anymore. And it sounds like that happened to you.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me, and it's been amazing ever since. I'm the first one to tell anybody that wants to build a bridge from being in the corporate space to getting into their own business. It's not for the faint of heart by any means. It takes a lot of skill. It takes a lot of hard work, but you have to be open to it. You have to be open to learning new things. You have to be open-minded to listening to people. You have to be open-minded to investing in yourself and in your business. So, there's a reason why most individuals are employees versus business owners. But the ones that kind of venture off are the ones, in my opinion, that, you know, that we get the chance to, you know, impact and empower a lot of people out there. And that's what I love to do. So.
And listen, for those of us who are listening, it's not easy. We make it look easy oftentimes, but it's not. I mean, you just about have to have a cast iron stomach to do what we do, because we fall all the time. We make mistakes every day. We pick ourselves up, we brush our britches off, and we just go, you know, at it from another direction. We just don't quit. I think that's what we all have in common. We just don't know the word stop. It just doesn't. We see it. We know how to spell it. We just don't do it.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%.
Listen, today we're going to be talking, we were talking in my virtual green room, and you have a lot of topics that you can speak to. High performance mindset, I have so many questions around that because, you know, you follow a lot of people around, you know, Tony Robbins and, you know, Brendon Burchard, and you and follow a lot of people around. Everybody, they all seem to have a lot in common. And I'm really anxious to hear what you have about creating or nurturing your high-performance mindset. One thing that I think a lot of people have in common that have this, and I do want to ask you about the traits of people who have this, and we were talking about this in the green room, one of the things is show up, don't be late, and don't just blow something off. I think that's a big one.
Yeah, I think that the old saying is showing up is half the battle. You know, a lot of people, you know, getting back to your high performance question, and that can be skewed and looked at in a lot of different ways. Well, what does that even mean? What does a high achiever really mean? Is it just a dollar amount? Is it a revenue number? Is it a lifestyle? Is it a way of, and I believe it's all, personally, I believe it's all those things, right? But it does, it starts with showing up. And what I mean by showing up, even though it sounds so trite, I get a chance to coach a lot of business owners, and I get a chance to talk to a lot of very successful entrepreneurs on my own podcast. And you hit on something earlier, which was the fail word or the fall down. And every single one of the people that I coach and every single one of the multi-millionaires that I've had on my podcast, every single one of them had one thing in common. And you hit on this earlier, that they have failed. Now, if you've never been through a failure, if you've never truly failed, like, I think that gets thrown around too easy, you know, the word failure. Until you're the one in the moment, until you're the one that just lost a major client, or you were run up at in the running with you and some other company and you didn't get that client, or something happened personally, or something knocked you back off of your game, it's that moment. It's in that very moment that determines whether or not you start to becoming a high performer, a high achiever, because nobody goes from A to Z in a straight line. And I think that that's part of it. And you don't really know what that's like until you're in the moment. So you can read about it. You can hear something on a podcast and that's all great. But until you're the one in the driver's seat that has this, and I'm doing air quotes, failure or setback, you don't know how you're going to react, right? You don't know how you're going to react. And so when you are in that driver's seat and something, you know, hits you really, really hard, you really do have a choice to make. At the end of the day, we have meaning-making machine minds, I call it, right? So our minds are always making meaning about something. the reality of it is it's just that one thing did happen. I don't want to make it too trite, but that one thing did happen. You have a choice. That one choice is you either move left, you go back to what you're doing, go back to the crappy job or going back to the situation or woe is me, or you take your moment to grieve. We all need our moments to grieve, but then you take the path to the right and say, okay, what can I learn from that, right? So I got knocked off my pedestal. What could I have done differently? What could I have done better? How could I have looked at it differently? And I personally believe I'm a man of faith in God. I believe that God puts us in the right places at the right times with the right opportunities when we need to have them happen to us. And if you really believe that, again, not even if you believe in God, whether it's the universe, the law of attraction, whether it's Moses, Buddha, whoever it is you dig the most, like I said earlier, realize that there's a higher power than you. And that higher power, whenever you get knocked backwards, rather than say, oh, I'm not meant for this, right? What a lot of people do, oh, I'm not meant for this because I failed. I'm going to go back to what I was doing. Why not look at it and say, okay, for whatever reason, God didn't want me to have that client. God did not want me to start that particular business. God did not want me to win that opportunity to be a speaker on that specific stage. Think about it, you know, grieve about it if you need to, but then go, what have I learned from there? Because I personally have the belief that God has amazing things in your path, but the only way that he can't put those amazing things, the right things in your path, is if you quit.
Oh, I agree. Listen, I have conversations with my higher self all of the time. Because I'm not arrogant enough to think that we're here alone or we just kind of got plunked here and we're just left to our own devices. We do have decisions to make and we have, you know, introspection to do. But there's something or somebody helping us along. I have no question about that. So when people come to you and they say, okay, I have fallen on my behind just way too many times and I'm depressed and my wife wants me to get a job or my husband wants me to get a job, but I know I can do this. How do you help them with their mindset at that point?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. And I definitely coach around the high performance mindset, but a lot of times the people that I work with, they've already made the decision to be their own boss or own their own business. They just need help around getting to the next level. But to answer your question succinctly, I have had a few conversations around that. And my answer to that is this. When you go from, you know, let's say working in a corporate job to owning your own business, that involves a lot of people, right? That involves your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your spouse, your kids, etc. If you're not able to get them on your side, well, then shame on you because they don't see enough of fire inside of you to be taking on this journey, because it's not just you taking on the journey. It's everybody that you surround yourself with, your parents, your cousins, your, like I said, your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, kids, etc. They all have to be on the same page, and here's why. And I know a lot of times that when the man or the woman decides to break free, go after their business or go after their passion and happens to be starting their own business, a lot of times it's difficult because they're used to making X amount of dollars every 2 weeks, you know, in their corporate space. And then now the money's not coming in. So I just believe, and we can talk about this for hours, but I think the takeaway that I can share with that is number one, always, always, always have a plan. I think with too many that go from being in the corporate space to becoming their own boss, I think they hate what they do so much that they can't wait to get the hell out of there, and they just start their own business, and they're like, you know what, screw it, I'm done. I can't stand my boss. I can't stand this business. I've always wanted to open up a florist or whatever, a floral shop, and away they go. That's such a bad mistake because you really don't realize that paycheck every 2 weeks comes in every 2 weeks, irregardless of what's happening. So you got to build a bridge. You have to build a bridge over to becoming an entrepreneur, whether that means you stock away a bunch of money, whether that means you have built a side business on the side until it's making enough money for you to go full time. There's a lot of different things. So absolutely have a plan, number one. I cannot stress that enough. Number one, have a plan. And number two, in conjunction with the plan, the loved ones have to be bought in. Because when you're going off, you know, trying to slay this monster called being an entrepreneur and making things happen, if you don't have the person at home as a cheerleader, it's so much harder for you. And I know so many people in other business ventures that I've been in where my girlfriend at the time, or now my wife, was behind me 100%. It was so much easier to talk about my quote unquote failures or things that didn't go well, because then she could help me. I know so many people that would come home and say, their spouses would say, I told you, what are you, crazy? I told you. And it's just not conducive. You got to be a really strong-willed person to be able to take that on a daily basis. So, again, number one, have a plan. Number two, talk to your spouse, your significant other, to say, this is what I'm doing. This is why I'm doing it. This is my passion. And I absolutely want you to be on my side. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I want to have you on my side.
It can be frightening for the people around you. I've been there, done it. I mean, I always knew that I was going to grow up and be an entrepreneur of some description. I always knew. It just was never a question for me. But you're right. You have to have that buy-in from your spouse or your significant other, even your children. I mean, your children don't understand why mommy's door is closed and she's trying to work. I'm like, Mom. Yeah, I don't have that problem, but I have coached virtual assistants and web developers.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do about my kids. You know, talk to them. Tell them why this is important. Ask if they can help you by, you know, maybe making their own lunch once in a while. You know, just get them to buy in. It's not just about us all the time. And beyond that, we still have to find training. And you said something earlier about investing, that money is no longer coming in unless you built those plans. So now you have to invest in yourself. You have to hire help, probably. You need coaching. You need mentoring. I mean, there are a lot of expenses that entrepreneurial types pay out that employees do not. And oftentimes I think they're not aware of those until they have to, you know, say, oh, God, I need coaching, or, oh, my gosh, I need Infusionsoft. Now I need somebody to, you know, set up my shopping cart. Oh, my God. And there's an awful lot that goes into building a business, particularly mm-hmm. an online business, that employees or people who are in a regular job market simply are not aware of. And it is daunting, and it can be expensive, especially if you do it wrong. So, you know, there's a lot going on there, a lot. You know, we don't find out until we go down the road, and then we're going, oh, geez, why didn't somebody tell me?
Well, I think the old saying is, you know, people that have gone through, you know, all the entrepreneurs that you're talking about, you know, I feel the same way. It's the old, you know, you talk to someone that's quote unquote made it, or is making it, or making a very good amount of money and having a great lifestyle or a business or whatever. If you would ask them, knowing what you know now, when you first started, how it would really be this tough, would you start it? And I've had people say, no, probably not. It was that difficult.
Really?
And not knowing. Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Because
kind of what
you're talking about, right? But that's the, you know, it's the old saying is, you know, I always say, like, for example, my wife and I are trying to have a child, and we have a bunch of nephews and nieces. So we'll go to a barbecue and we'll play with the kids, and they'll play and they'll jump on us and we'll have fun. But then we give the kids back, you know, and we get a chance to go home and maybe take a nap, or, you know, grab some wine, or stay out late if we want, my wife and I, and wake up late. Well, their sisters can't do that, right? Because they have kids. And we'll always say in the car ride home, we'll say, oh, well, if we had kids, we wouldn't have done that. Or if we should maybe do that with our kids, or what we've done different. We have to stop ourselves and say, whoa, time out. We don't have those kids yet, so we cannot put ourselves in that position. When we have kids and we're in the moment, then we'll know how we'll react to the kids spilling milk all over the floor or drawing on the walls, and, you know, whatever the case may be. And it's the same thing about being an entrepreneur. You can read all the magazines. You can go to the self-help sections of the bookstores. You can read 1,000 books on being an entrepreneur. But to your point, what you just shared a few minutes ago, until you're in the throes of all of this, you don't really know how you're going to react, and you just have to keep pushing forward. You know, it's kind of like if you're in a fog, you know, if you can't really see in front of you, but you know you've been on the street 1,000 times, you can't really see in front of you very well. Well, you can stop, right, and be, you know, bowled over by all the fog or the snow or the ice, or you just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And the old Martin Luther King quote, which is you don't have to see the entire staircase. You just have to see the front stair. You just have to keep putting one foot in front of the other. And my mentor a long time ago told me, you have to embrace the journey. And you don't really know that. It's like a coffee cup saying, right? You know, something that would belong in like a coffee cup. But until you're in that, it's so true. Because every day is a new experience. And if you look at it like that, and if you just keep moving, see, when people stop, when they lose is when they stop, right? So they just have to keep moving. And I'm not saying that you should keep beating your head up against the wall if there's a door 3 feet away from you and say, well, I'm going to get through this. There's a way to work, and there's a way to work smartly. I'm saying work hard. You got to hustle, but you got to also work smart. And, you know, investing, mentorships, going to conferences, et cetera, that's a way to really time collapse your learning curve, in my opinion. So it's all of that is necessary.
Oh, absolutely. Like when I first started out, you know, I went back to college a little bit late in life, got my computer science degree, didn't have a clue what to do with it. But I knew I did not want to work in somebody's office, and I bypassed the job office. You know, when you graduate, they say, oh, we'll find you placement. No, thank you. And I went out and I started beating on doors and saying, I will build you a website for practically nothing. I just need to build up my resume, and that's what I did. And listen, Scott, I am a total confirmed, highly committed introvert. That was about the most painful thing I think I've had to do. But I had to do it because I knew I wanted to create a lifestyle that allowed me to be by myself most of the time. I mean, it was really imperative for my mental health. And, you know, I have to tell you, it has never occurred to me. That was in 2000. It has never occurred to me, and I have days where I just want to go, are you kidding me? What were you thinking? Not once have I ever decided to go get a job. Not one time. It has never slipped into my head. I just take a break. I go outside. I watch my dog chase the squirrels. I breathe. You know, send up a little prayer or a request or, geez, somebody help me. And about an hour later, I've got the answer. You know, you just have to stop and be quiet every once in a while. The answer, the help, the assistance, it will show up. I just have faith it'll show up. And it always does. So when people come to you, you know, the people that you're coaching and mentoring and speaking with, what are some of is there any one or two or three kind of common problems that they're encountering?
Yeah, great question. Number one is the mindset, meaning when I mean by mindset, that's a vague term. So let me be a little bit more specific. A lot of business owners, to what we've been talking about, they start their business, maybe they learn it from somewhere else, and then they took that knowledge and that skill set and they opened up their own shop or their own business, or they just said, you know what, like you, got out of college, I'm not working for anybody else, I'm going to plow into this thing and do it. However they got into it, But they're very, very good at their one trade. Maybe they're great, you know, in the kitchen. They're great at baking, you know, muffins, or they're great at, you know, the IT space, or they're great at being a chiropractor or a dentist or whatever. But they're working so hard, in their business, they never really have the skill sets, frankly, or the time to start working on their business. And when I say on their business, it's, okay, I've been doing this for 5 years. Okay, great. I know I go to the office or the place of business, and I do my thing, and I come home, and it's like Groundhog Day. And then they never really take a stop and say, okay, what does success really look like for me? So this is where I'm getting into the mindset. What does success even look like for you? Does that mean you want to sell your practice for a couple million in the next 3 to 5 years? Do you want to turn it over to your son or your daughter? Do you want to quit and then work half the time but hire someone else or bring a CEO in so that frees up your – what? 99.5% of the people that I coach do not have this answer. You'd be surprised. Super successful individuals don't have this answer around, hey, what does success even look like for me? So the first thing we do is we lay out a roadmap. Most of them have never sat down and say, what does that roadmap even look like? Again, what is the pot of gold at the end of this thing? They just keep churning and churning and churning and churning and churning, and they don't really know what the success looks like for them at all, right? So that's the first thing we kind of tackle is the mindset piece. And what does the map look like? What does the treasure look like, right? So number one. Number two is, how do I, and this is the most important thing that most small business owners, even mid-sized business owners really, they don't know how to drive leads into their business. And without leads, without prospects, the business fails. There's a reason why one out of five businesses go under in a five-year time span. There's a reason. Everything I'm telling you, number one, is they don't know what success looks like. They don't have an end goal. They don't measure their goals. They don't know their numbers. And then lastly, they don't really know how to drive leads, how to drive prospects. So when people come to me, those are the biggest aspects people say, I need to get to the next level, but I don't know how. And then we start asking and start putting together some strategies around that. But that's really where my forte kind of kicks in and saying, okay, let's put down a roadmap. Let's put down what success looks like. And then let's drive some strategies around certain benchmarks throughout the year so that we know that we're on the right track. It's kind of like if you and I were to jump in a car here in Chicago and you said to me, all right, man, let's go to Los Angeles. And I said, great, right? You jumped into my car and you say to me, Scott, you have a map, right? Or a GPS. And I said, nah, we don't need a GPS. We don't need a map. Let's just go. Let's just drive. You're like, yeah, that sounds like fun, but I really want to get in the car with you if you know exactly where we're going, because I want to get to the beach and put my toes in the sand faster. I don't want to drive around the United States hoping I find Los Angeles. Most business owners, they get into their business, they buy into their business or whatever the case is, but they don't know the map that's going to get them to what the ultimate success looks like for them.
You know, that makes sense. I mean, I did the same thing. I was so busy building. And to be honest with you, I had nobody to train me. I just did it on my own. When I first started, I was building HTML sites and, you know, hypertext markup language. WordPress didn't exist at the time, and, you know, social media didn't exist. I mean, I was just plugging along, just doing what made sense to me. Fortunately for me, it worked, but I got so busy, and I was so immersed in just, you know, building that business and creating more business that after a while I was exhausted. I mean, I was absolutely exhausted, and I wasn't working in my business. Turns out that was a big mistake.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had to sit back and kind of regroup and say, okay, you know, maybe you don't need this many clients. Maybe you need, you know, products. Maybe you need other services. What is that going to look like? Talk about scare myself half to death, because I was, you know, doing well, making good money. But the problem was, and I think a lot of virtual assistants, online business managers, web developers find this out fairly quickly. If you are doing all of this work yourself, even with, you know, some contractors and with a small team, if something happens to you, your business dies. That's it. It's over. And I made
that
mistake.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. Yeah, and that's exactly correct.
And
I was just
going
to say
that,
you know, at the end of the day, yeah, at the end of the day, it's like I always tell people, whether they're starting out, whether they've been in business for a while, is this. Treat your business, whether you do something like you do, or I work with a couple solopreneurs, service-based professionals, and they got their little nice business going, and I say, well, are you really happy with it? They say, I like doing the work, yeah, but I really want to grow. And I say, well, how important is it for you to grow? So before they even can say anything else, I really want to get buy-in to say, yes, I really want to grow. Some people don't. Believe it or not, some people don't. They're happy. That's cool. I'm not for you. But if they want to grow, I look at them and I say, you have to start treating your business like a multi-million dollar business. So what does that mean? So if you were the CEO and founder of a multi-million dollar business, would you be doing the things that you do on a day-to-day basis? Would you be doing, and I call it the 10, the 100, the 1,000 principle. The 10, 100, 1,000 principle. That means this. When you're doing an activity, are you doing a $10 activity, a $100 activity, or a $1,000 activity? Now, not literally, but figuratively, to say that if I'm doing a certain thing in my business, would a CEO and founder of a $10 million company, would he or she be doing that same thing? If the answer is no, then you need to outsource that. If the answer is yes, continue to do that. But you as a business owner needs to focus, and it's a mindset shift is what it is. It's a mindset shift, getting out of your comfort zone. You need to start focusing on the $1,000 an hour job. I don't literally mean $1,000 an hour, but it could be. It could be $5,000 an hour jobs, whatever you do for a living. The point is it's a mindset shift, and a lot of business owners that I work with, they're really good at writing blogs, or they're really good at actually writing their, you know, their clients' newsletters, et cetera. And I say, that's maybe a $100 an hour job, maybe. Do you really want to grow your business from $500,000 to $3 million? Oh, my God, yes, I do. Well, then you have to start focusing on how to, number one, we have to start attracting larger dollar clients. And number two, you need to start outsourcing and building a team around you. Because if you don't do those things, we're going to sit here 3 years from now and you're going to be in the exact same position, but yet you're going to be burnt out. And now your passion, why you got into this business, is going to fade because you're literally trading hours for dollars. And when you get this mindset shift, and it's not easy, trust me, it's not easy, but when it just clicks, it's like when we were in third grade and we were doing our multiplication tables and you're doing, you know, what's 5 times 5, and you couldn't get it and couldn't get it and couldn't get it. Finally, it just clicked. Oh, my God, it's 25. What's 10 times 10 is 100. 10 times 3 is 30. When you started to finally get that, it was like it was automatic. The same thing when I'm coaching these business owners, clients. When they get that, then they start outsourcing the $10 an hour jobs and even the $100 an hour jobs. Then they can focus on, now I can really focus on these bigger item things. And that, right then and there, that's when the switch goes on, and that's when they start exploding their business.
Right. I found that there were two reasons that I identified why people didn't do exactly what you're talking about. One was the idea that they couldn't afford it. I argue with that and say you can't afford not to do it. And the other is control. Most of us are control freaks. My hand's in the air. I am a control freak. And honestly, I don't ask anybody in my business, either on the virtual assistant side or the web development side, to do anything that I can't already do, which makes it very easy for me to, you know, parcel work out to them because I'm very clear in my instructions. But I'm also a control freak, so that took some doing. It's like, I can do it better. Maybe I could, maybe I can't, but oh my gosh. I mean, that was a huge mindset issue for me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you got to think of it like this, right? You can't build a multi-million dollar business with what you just said. I can do it all by myself. It's absolutely impossible. So think of the late great Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs was arguably, maybe he wasn't the best, you know, Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs started Apple. Well, those two couldn't be the ones doing all the coding for the rest of their lives because they're the best coders in the world, right? So they had to, right? And I obviously it's kind of a bad example because Apple is one of the largest, if not the largest, most successful company in the world. But you start getting the idea that if you treat your business like a little cottage business, you're going to get little cottage money back. And you're right. It's a mindset shift. So I don't care what any kind of business, if it's the kind of business that you own, if it's the kind of business that, you know, it's a product business, if it's a service business, it doesn't matter. Treat your business like you are walking in every day as the founder and CEO of a $10 million business. Would you, as the $10 million business owner, do those things? And if you say, Scott, that's not fair because I'm making $300,000 or $200,000 a year, I'm not there yet. It's the principle. You might not be there yet to hire out to pay someone $5,000 a month, but, you know, you can use services like Denise. You know, use her virtual assistant business to help offload some of the $10 an hour jobs that I was just talking about. So here's what happens, in my opinion, and I'm piggybacking off of what you just said. People get comfortable and they stay in their comfort zone. So as an example, if you're a copywriter, I'm just making up any kind of thing. If you're a copywriter and you're really good at copywriting, or you're good at writing blogs, but you're not good at lead gen, you don't feel good in front of networking groups, you don't know how to drive leads from the Facebook ad campaign, if you don't do any of those things, that's okay. But just realize if you don't have those skill sets, number one, go out and find someone that does. Number two, you can learn it. Or number three, you farm it out, you outsource it to someone else. Because what you're not – and I'm talking to your audience right now – you're not realizing that what's keeping you stuck is you. You are the bottleneck. And I just brought on a guy the other day, or about a month ago, and I said, and I started to get, you know, kind of some deep questions. I'm like, you know, you're doing $3 million in your business. That's amazing. Holy cow. And he's like, yeah, I want to get to six. I go, okay, well, what's the problem? He says, I think I'm the problem. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, we're a service-based business in the attorney world, and this is what he does, and yada, yada, yada. He has a team of four. But he goes, here's the problem. I'm the best player on the team. And I said, that is the problem. And he goes, I am the rainmaker. I go out and get the deals, and then I bring the deals back in-house. My team kind of puts the deals together and writes the right wording and the coding and everything else, and then I take it back, I deliver the product, and I continue to rainmake. And I said, well, that is the problem, because right now you're the rainmaker rather than the firm being the rainmaking firm. So we're literally right in the middle of tweaking his mindset so that he's not just the rainmaker, but the other people that he works with or the prospects know that his firm is the rainmaking firm rather than the one individual. It's a huge mindset differentiator.
It is. And listen, I worked on myself for a long time with that. I really did. And I think I'm over it now, but I still have setbacks. It's like, oh, Denise, just go do it. You know, don't farm it out to anybody on your team. By the time you write up the email and get it over there and get the response back, you could have done it. I have to almost physically restrain myself every now and then by getting up and go and walking off. Just leave my office. My office is in my home. I may go to the kitchen. I may go to the stove. I may go outside. I spend a lot of time in my backyard. And I give myself a little talking to. It's like, really? You know, okay, go back. Get it gelled in your head. I've written the email in my head already. When I get back in here, I can zip it off and go on to the next thing. But I have to physically remove myself from that temptation. It's bizarre, but it's the only way I can do it. Otherwise, I'll just do it. But I've learned that about myself, so that's a step forward, right?
Mm-hmm, for sure.
So when people are, you mentioned marketing, and that's a big, big thing. You know, whatever you're selling, whatever you're producing, whatever your services you're offering, you know that stuff. I mean, you know your product, your service, whatever it is, you know it inside and out. But unless you're getting it to a big audience, a broader audience, you're not doing it. You're just kind of sitting dead in the water. So marketing is a huge mindset as well. And I wanted to talk to you about affording these things too at the end of the show if we have time, but because that's also a mindset. Oh, I can't afford it. You can find a way. But so when you're having to, you know, look at marketing. I can't tell you how many people, because we do social media marketing in my company for a lot of clients. They are scared to death. It's like, I don't want to do it. I can't put myself out there. They almost have meltdowns on the phone. That's a big problem. You have to find a way to sell whatever it is that you're selling.
Well, it's a mindset. Here's why it's a mindset. Here's why it's a... Here's why people have a fear around it. So people equate marketing to advertising, and they run one and the same a lot of times, but sometimes they're also very different. But they mix the two together. So when they think of marketing, they think Super Bowl ads. They think I got to put an ad for $25,000 or $30,000 in a magazine. I got to run a Facebook ad campaign for $15,000. And they get fearful because they're like, oh, my God, I'm literally going to flush the money down the toilet. So first and foremost, that's their biggest fear. is if I put this out there, that means I'm going to most likely automatically lose money. So what I teach them, and you can probably even speak to this even better than I can, especially from a social media digital marketing play. So I won't spend too much time on that because that's your expertise, digital or advertising on the internet. There's a lot of components to that, but you don't have to spend a boatload of money to get great results. So I think people think of this marketing as this esoteric, huge, dynamic thing, when the reality of it is, if you do a few things very, very well, you want to start building up some momentum. So maybe this will relieve a lot of your audience listeners to say that I don't have to spend a lot of money to get results. So I see people that advertise in the newspaper, on TV, on radio, in magazines, in the money mailers, or they advertise online, et cetera, et cetera. They don't understand what the intent of the marketing is, first and foremost. I was just at a networking event prior to your show, and it's absolutely amazing to me that people think if I just put up a website, like if I build it, they will come, right? People coming in every day.
Yeah.
And they don't understand. Yeah, and they don't understand the prerequisites of what marketing is. So, number one, know exactly what your messaging is. First and foremost, I don't care where you – it's not where you advertise. It's what you say in the advertisement. I know so many people that spend millions of dollars on advertising and the Super Bowl, and they might get one lead. I also know people that can spend zero money on advertising at a networking event, get five business cards, walk away with one client. They spent $0. Why? Because they have what I call a market dominating position. Number two, they adhere to the marketing guidelines that I coach when it comes to an actual advertisement. And then three, they know exactly who their market is.
So many people come into my space, and when I say my space, I mean the internet. I am convinced the internet was created exactly for me. It's mine. I share it with y'all, but it was made for me, no question about it. And I see some really bizarre things going on there, but I see some huge successes too. But honestly, and as I said at the top of the show, and I'm actually quoting a friend of mine who wrote this book called Winning in the Trust and Value Economy, Meredith Elliott Powell, people want to know you these days. It's not a matter of, you know, buying a Yellow Page ad or, you know, putting the sign on the bus stop bench. They may work, but not like the online space does, I don't think. And, I mean, you can spend a ton of money and a ton of time, or you can get out there and you can really start finding out who your audience is, you know, polling people, going where you think your audience is, your avatar, finding out how to hone your message, how to, you know, what are their pain points? How can you help them? This takes time, and it takes a bit of study. But if you make those decisions to find out just exactly who your audience is and tailor your message towards that audience instead of just throwing spaghetti at the ceiling and hoping it doesn't fall on Mama's head when she walks in the door, you're going to get ahead a whole lot quicker, don't you think?
I agree 100%, and I'll add to that. So I'll give your audience a few really important takeaways that I coach my clients on. Number one, whether it's online or offline, it doesn't matter. Number one is who exactly is your audience? You can't say, anybody
I'll
that's
say everyone.
Online.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't say
that's
everyone.
That's the big thing. No, it's not everyone.
Yeah, you got to have, like, I want to work with only chiropractors or plumbers, or I want to work with just service professionals, et cetera, right? Number one. So know exactly who your audience is. Number two, what is your messaging? And your messaging is, I hear people even in a networking event, they'll stand up and say, I'm an attorney. I'm a real estate attorney. We are right down the street. We've been in business for 175 years, blah, 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 blah. No offense. No one cares. People are all in it. It's all about what's in it for me. That's how we as human beings listen. Right. So we listen to sound, okay, what's in this for me as I'm listening? Right or wrong, we are human beings. That's how we do this. So if someone stands up and says something around their exact audience and how they help them, I am for example, a chiropractor. Rather than saying I'm a chiropractor, I've been in business down the street on Elm and Oak, and we worked on all kinds of people. We've been all kinds of patients, blah, 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 blah. Come see us. That to me is boring. If the same individual stands up and says, hi, my name is Dr. Smith. I've been in the chiropractic business for 20 years. But what makes us so unique is we specialize in fibromyalgia. We specialize in chronic pain around your neck and your headaches. So if you're someone, how many of you work at a desk? Great. How many of you, work on your computer? Great. I'm sure you get neck aches and pains. We specialize in that. Right now we're offering blah, 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 blah. Come see us, for the next 7 days. That's to
right.
me is exactly around the messaging because, my God, I'm getting these headaches. Oh, my God, he spoke the language of what I'm going through, as you called it earlier, the pain point. So that's the second thing I would say is get the messaging right. Talk about your results of how you help people, not who you are and what you do. Okay, and then the last thing is this. This is the most important thing. Whether it's online or offline, test, 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 test. You don't have to spend $5,000 on a Facebook ad campaign or a Yellow Page ad. It doesn't matter. You got to get the testing right. Once you get the test market right, so do maybe 500 mailers rather than $10,000. Do a Facebook ad campaign and really narrow down who your niche audience is for $500. Really understand, to your point a few minutes ago, who your market is and what are they responding to, and then you can blow it out with a $5,000 campaign or a $10,000. But only once you have found out that your message resonates with your specific audience. Does that make sense?
Oh, gosh, yeah, and I tell this to people all the time. And do you find, as I do, that your clients think they have a specific audience, and then once they start doing this testing and these pollings and asking questions and visiting Facebook groups and LinkedIn groups, that their audience isn't who they thought they were? That is not uncommon, I find.
Yeah, and, kudos to you for going that deep, which is great that you do that, because most business owners, especially small business owners, I think the reason why they shy away from kind of what we talked about in the beginning of this piece of the conversation is they don't feel that it's too foreign. This internet digital, this thing called a landing page and a website and a call to action and videos, oh my God, that's like speaking, Chinese. I don't even know that, so I'm not going to go there. And I tried a campaign 3 years ago in our local mailer, and I spent $5,000, and I didn't get one person coming into my office, and I'll never do that again. So I find that when I have conversations with those people, the very first thing we do, and it sounds maybe so obvious, but this, what you and I are talking about right now, is the number one, number two, and number three things back to back to back that people have to get clear on first. Because once they're clear on who their message, what their messaging is, who their ultimate audience is. And then one of my mentors told me a long time ago, and it's so important. He said, change your offer, change your life, change your business. Change your offer, change your life, change your business. Meaning, for example, when someone stands up and they don't have something compelling as an offer at a networking meeting or on a brochure, on a billboard, on a bus, on an internet ad campaign, it doesn't matter. You have to have a compelling offer. So you mentioned something interesting, and I want to just address this. You said something about advertising on a bus or on a billboard or on it doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, small business owners, please listen up. You're confusing branding versus direct response marketing. So when you see Apple or Nike or Under Armour or all these Pepsi, Skittles, whoever, on TV or on a bus or whatever, these people have millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars to advertise, and their sole job is to make sure their brand is in front of your face so that unconsciously you pick up this kind of a cereal in this cereal aisle at your local grocer. That's worlds apart different than small business owners who are trying to get leads, who are trying to turn those leads into happy clients or patients. Worlds of difference. So the number one thing a small business owner has to focus on is how do I generate leads? And that can mean we can be here for hours to do that, but how do I generate leads so that clients, customers, patients are constantly picking up the phone and calling our office, calling our practice, or coming in or getting on a Skype or whatever their business is. That's the number one thing they should focus on. And however it is, that's what I coach on, that's what I teach on, mentor on. But that's the number one thing. That's the lifeblood of any practice or any small business. Don't worry about where you put your message. Understand who your target audience is. Test it out first with a small dollar amount. And then only then, if you get a good response rate, then you can increase the spend. So when you know that, that will allow you to not be so fearful around this thing called marketing.
That great points. And you know something else I've seen, not as often as I've seen people go, oh, gosh, I can't afford this. And we do want to talk about that. But if you're doing your sales strategy right and you're, you know, getting those leads out there and you're closing those leads, you darn well better be prepared for growth. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard people say, oh, I had to shut it all down because we just got too busy. That is not smart, because then you have to start all over again building up your audience, building up new leads. That's not cost effective. Have a plan for growth.
Yeah, and I always say, and that's a good point, I always say, you know, at least what I coach on is, I would rather have that problem. I would rather have we found the sweet spot, right? Maybe it's taken us 6 months or a year to find what you just talked about, where there's so much prospects or leads coming in, we're turning them into clients or patients. I would say amen to that. Like, I would rather have that problem that you just discussed, because then we have to maybe bring on someone else, we have to hire someone else. Because I think what happens is business owners get so overwhelmed, rightfully so, because they started the company and then they bring on a virtual assistant from your firm, or they go out and hire someone full-time or part-time, and they're trying to juggle this. They're trying to satisfy the clients or the patients. Then they know they need to market. Then they know they need to advertise. Then they have to plan for growth. Then they have to do their – I mean, it's a lot, right? It's a lot. It'll drive people batty. So if people, you know, my message to people out there is, if you do find that sweet spot that Denise has said, my personal opinion is amen to that. I would rather have that be the case, and then you say, holy crap, now I got to go hire a person, rather than I hire a person, I get ready to get ready to get ready for growth, but I don't know the sweet spot around marketing, around lead gen, around the right sales script, around the right closing ratio, whatever. You know, I'd rather have it kind of like the ready, fire, aim mentality a little bit versus the ready, aim, fire, I'm ready, I'm getting ready to get ready to get ready. And then all of a sudden I've hired all these people and I've moved my office into an actual office space versus my kitchen. And now I'm ready, but I don't know the skill sets on how to drive the leads or the people into my business. So, you know, that's why I said earlier, embrace the process, because my business today will look nothing, and neither will yours, will look nothing in 2 years that it does today. And I can't wait for
it. Oh, yeah. Mine changes all the time. It grows. You know, sometimes I retrench a bit deliberately so I can say, okay, you know, I maybe want to move in this direction. But I'm never out of business. And I see so many people, particularly in my industries, web development and virtual assistants, who are just like, you know, summer's it's a slow time. How do you figure? Like, what are you doing wrong that you have slow times? What does that even look like? I'm stunned by that. So clearly they're doing something wrong. But I wanted to ask you very, very quickly, because one of the – and you touched on it a moment ago where you said, you know, well, it cost me a bunch of money. I'm never going to do that again. So people kind of shut down when it comes to investing in their business, whether – it's help, whether it's tools and resources, systems like Infusionsoft, I think I mentioned that earlier. What do you do when they say, I just can't afford it? I will tell you, I will always say, you know what, you have cable, close it down. You drinking Starbucks every day? Stop it. You can't afford it. You just don't want it. But what is your response to that?
They say I can't afford. Are you asking me when they say I can't afford to do marketing or advertising?
Yeah, because, I mean, people, I don't hear it real often, but, you know, I'm in a lot of groups on Facebook and LinkedIn, and that seems to be one of the top, you know, five or six questions that people are saying. Well, you know, what do I, when my potential client says, oh, I can't afford that, it's like, oh, my gosh, you know, both of you are wasting your time at that point unless or until you can find a way that they can afford it.
Well, there's one way to get around that very quickly. And how you do that is very simple. Everybody, like I mentioned before, is focused on themselves. They only care what's good for them. Wrong or right, that's just how we are. So when someone says they can't afford it, that tells me that either my prospect or my client or your prospect or your client, that I haven't gotten to their pain points deep enough. I haven't spent enough time to get and understand their business to know how the sales process works, what they really want out of the business, what they're trying to accomplish with the business, et cetera. So the old saying is price is never the real reason, ever. There's never a real reason when someone says I can't afford it. That's just a smoke screen to what's
right,
really happening.
It's a knee-jerk. Yeah, they don't want
it's a
to
smoke
because
screen.
You haven't,
it's a smoke
you haven't
screen.
Convinced them, right?
Well, it's not even convincing. Yeah, I never convince, right? It's how you ask the right questions so that they formulate the own answers to understand why they really need it. So I'll give you a real kind of a deep, interesting kind of a coaching conversation. So
okay. When
I coach people say to me, I sometimes can't afford your services. I can't afford you, Scott. I know that I didn't do a good enough job explaining or helping them see why not working with me is actually going to hurt them in the long run. So what I mean by I can't afford marketing or I can't afford this or that or this, as an example, I will look at their business and whatever their business is, let's hypothetically say that each new client they earn $3,000 in revenue. Let's just, as one client, that's what one client is worth for the year is $3,000. I'm just making, it could be 30 grand, it could be 300 grand, whatever. Let's say it's $3,000. I will back that out and say, okay, let's work. I always work from a backwards starting forward. I reverse engineer it is what I call it. So if a new client, Mr. Customer or Mr. Prospect, is worth $3,000 to you, okay? But let's say I'm just making this number up. This service is going to cost you $10,000. Yeah, that's right. It's going to cost me $10,000 to advertise in this mailer or in this thing or whatever. Okay, great. So how many leads? What's your you got to know the numbers. I always say to my business owners, you have to know your numbers. And I'm actually looking at something specifically that I coach on, which is called the profit growth calculator. 85% of business owners should be spending all of their time, or I should say all business owners should be spending their time 85% of the time on these five things. Number one, more leads. Number two, more conversions. Number three, more transactions. Four is higher prices. Five is more profits. Any business owner focuses on these five things, their business is guaranteed to grow. More leads, more conversions, more transactions, higher prices, and more profits. So if a new customer nets you $3,000 and it costs you $10,000 in spend, you only need 3.5 new customers for the entire year for you to make a profit. Not to mention how many times we're going to get that new customer to come back more than once, not to mention how many referrals they can give you. But on the very, very minimal end, you only need 3.5 new clients, 4 clients to make a profit of that spend. Is spending $10,000 to get one client, that's one client like per month. What if we can help you get one client a month? That's it, just one client a month and $3,000 for the next 12 months. That's $36,000, it costs you $10,000. Would you, Mr. Business Owner, you seem like a smart individual, would you like to spend $10,000 to earn $36,000 all day, every day, even on Sunday? Absolutely. that's what we're going to do in the coaching that I do. That's kind of the conversation. And that kind of conversation can go anywhere with anybody that's working with anybody in any situation. And I say that because when you understand the numbers, when you understand their numbers, when you understand what they're trying to do, when you understand everything else we talked about on this program today, they want to know one simple fact. Can you, or can this ad campaign, can you specifically, can you help me bring in new clients, new customers, et cetera, or new patients in order to justify your spend? So when someone says, I can't afford it, there's something deeper to that. To their real answer is, a lot of times, and they won't tell you this up front, you got to really dig deeper, the answer is fear. The real answer is, I really do have the money, but I tried this 3 years ago. I remember it was the worst experience of my life. We spent 10 grand. We didn't get 3 leads. I'm never doing it again. So they might tell you, yeah, well, your price points are too high, or that ad campaign is too high. That's not the right answer. The real answer is something buried deep inside them, and that's what your responsibility is to do, is to get them out. Once it's out on the table and they admit to that, they agree to that, yeah, you know what? You're right. It is fear. That's the real reason. Then you can play around with that and say, let's move the fear aside and just imagine if we can hit those numbers, what that would do for your business. What would that do for your business? Oh, my God, that would allow me to go on vacation. That would allow me to hire another person. That would allow me to pay for my kids' college. Ah, now we're on to something. Now I found the real reason of why they're doing what they do. It's not that they can't afford 10 grand in this example. It's they feel they're going to fail. And if they fail, then what are they going to look like in the eyes of their friends, their family, their subordinates, et cetera?
Good point. And that does make sense. I mean, any consultant, and I place myself in this, you know, in that genre, if you will, we have to be able to really consult with our clients, whether they're virtual assistants, whether they're online business management, whether they're coaching, whatever it is that you're doing. You have to take the time to really sit down with your clients and look at their business and look at where they've been and look at where they're going. I can't tell you how many times people have come to me and said, okay, I was referred to you by so-and-so and I need this, and this, and you know, 10 other things. Once we sit down and we start going through it, almost always, and I mean almost every single time, we find out that what they just knew they needed, they don't need at all. They need something entirely different.
That's exactly right.
It's really
right.
Important to, you know, have those breakthroughs, if you will, and to really,
right.
And I tell virtual assistants that I coach all the time, do not just go, oh, yeah, I can help you. I'm sending you a retainer agreement right now. You're going to be unhappy. Your client's going to be unhappy. It's going to end badly. Make sure that you have these strategy sessions before you even sign that contract or retainer agreement, because you want them for the long term. Listen, you had mentioned, and we are out of time. We're still recording. We did lose the people in the chat room, so I don't want you to go away. But in the show notes, you mentioned business breakthrough strategy sessions. So share that information if you would.
Yeah, I would love to offer that to your audience. I normally charge $2,000 for this, but I have a few spots available that I would love to present to your audience. So it's really any business owner. They've been in business longer than 2 years. They've already semi-established. They feel challenged around getting to the next level of success into marketing and through sales and growth, et cetera. What I'd be offering to your audience is just simply for us to connect. They can go to 40minutemakeover.com. That's 40 spelled out 40, F-O-R-T-Y, minutemakeover.com. And in that, you'll see a page where you'll see me on video talking about this breakthrough strategy session and how not only am I helping with an actual strategy session, but I'm helping them put together a marketing roadmap for the next 12 months. Right? Some of the challenges they feel, they feel stuck around, I'm going to help them get past that. I'm also going to help them find some untapped revenue and profits in their overall business. And like I mentioned, I normally charge $2,000 for this, but I would waive this for your audience. Just go to 40minutemakeover.com.
Now, I have a big audience, so you better say that's one or two or three people. So let's just tell people first come, first served.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely first come, first serve. I mean, from a bandwidth perspective, I do legitimately only have some spots available. So
right.
You know, I would just say come on over to it as fast as they can and check it out. And then from there, I'll be getting in touch with them via email with further instructions.
Excellent. Well, that is a wonderful offer, and thank you so much. So where can people find you on the web? I know in the show notes, I think I linked to your podcast. And you just mentioned the business breakthrough strategies. Is there any place else where people should find you on the web?
Well, I think the 40minutemakeover.com for sure. You'll see my mug on there. But also, yeah, would love to have them check out Success Hackers, which is the name of the podcast, successhackers.net. They can check out that podcast. We interview about 8 different super successful entrepreneurs on the show every single month. So would love to have them check that out as well. And I also have something that's free if they want to check it out. It's a video, and it really dispels myths around lead generation. I think there's too many myths around what it is and how do I do it. And so I literally have created a free video called iwantmoreleads.net, pretty simple. iwantmoreleads.net, and they can check out this video. It's that video alone is worth everything, and it's completely free. So,
excellent. Well, Scott, listen, thank you so much for being with me here today. It has been wonderful chatting with you, and I know our audience enjoyed the takeaways as much as I did. And everybody, the show will be available for download in about 10 or 15 minutes. And you can also find us in iTunes. Just type in our names, Denise Griffiths and Scott Hansen, and I will see you next week. Scott, thank you so much.
Denise, thank you, and I just want to applaud you for doing what you're doing, reaching out to individuals, helping them, impacting and empowering people through your show and through your business. And, I always give back where I want to and where I can, and having a servant mentality like you have, amen to everything you're doing as well. So thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottogovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on your Partner in Success Radio.